Hey everyone, and welcome to Steel Wars. I am Steel Saunders, and I do love Star Wars. And we are here to chat many various topics going on in the Star Wars galaxy of news, Acolyte, and or Season 2. And for the YouTube viewer, let us welcome just some of ILM's top tier effects. It's the eyeballs that walk, Hawes Burkhart.
How's it going, buddy?
I go well. Now, you come onto the screen before the show starts, and for everyone listening on iPod or another audio device, Hawes has got, I presume, a balaclava on, but is also using some sort of blue or green screen technology. So he has got galaxy head. You should have done like hyperspace.
Oh, that would have been cool. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Like if I line my head up just right, there we go.
Oh, that is terrifying. Just so I can concentrate on anything else possibly, I will ask you to take it off.
Yeah, you got it, buddy. Give me the second. Now this is going to be a neat looking effect too, right? When I peel my face off.
Oh yeah, this is fantastic. Well, ah, it was Mick Foley all along.
There we go, buddy. I love a good bit. Do you think when they were working out green screen technology, like just imagine like all those folks on the prequels sitting in those green screen rooms. Little did they know what other people would be up to.
Yeah, well, that's like at Celebration Chicago, I got to ask Rob Knoll, the inventor with his brother of Photoshop. I got to yell out to him and say, hey, do you ever see things on the internet Photoshopped and think, what did I do? And he looked at me quite gobsmacked and just said, no. And I was like, all right.
Fair enough.
He suffers no guilt. It's, what's that movie coming out at the end of the Oppenheimer? What is that?
Oppenheimer?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. About like, just be careful what you're inventing there, Rob Knoll. Oh, here we go. Little kitty alert.
Yeah.
Sweet action. Hey, so jumping back to last week when we chatted on May the 4th, I did that special report from Carrie Fisher's star unveiling deal.
Yeah.
And then later in the week at this footage came out of afterwards out the back.
I saw that, and it was the exact people you were talking about on that that episode last week.
Yeah, all the peeps. So I get so frustrated when people just naively say, Star Wars fans are the worst. It's like, they're not Star Wars fans. They're there every day. But obviously, you know, Mark Hamill's a big fish. So they're, you know, it's not just like, I don't know, Jeremy Renner would probably be pretty good.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of someone that everyone knew, but it
that wouldn't be as big of a deal.
But like, people don't like I don't think we're gonna have that many Jeremy Renner fans in the like getting offended on his behalf. Right. Do you know what I mean? But anyway, it was weird to see all that footage.
And, yeah, it was very aggressive.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought was going to happen to Kathleen. But it was my premonition. Mm-hmm. Just
slightly off. You could have rescued Mark. Can you imagine?
Well, imagine if I was in the... Ah, just sign my sticker. Come on.
Dude, I don't know that you'd ever be able to live that one down. That would have been funny.
Sign it, or just in tears, just thankfully But imagine if, like, you know, you have that falling down moment where you just snap. And wow. But the other thing, that day, that night, we went and saw Return of the Jedi with Harry.
Yeah.
At the Academy Museum. And R2-D2 was there beeping around, and he got to meet him again. And yeah, it was just the best time.
It looked awesome from the pictures I saw. It seemed like you guys had a good time.
Yeah, it was, there was no Coke allowed in the theater though. Water only, water and popcorn only. Cause it's like the Academy Theater and they don't normally have food in there. And so they made an exception, but water and popcorn.
Not a good mix.
Oh, zero buys. So I was just like, I'll just go dry. Eat my popcorn. But yeah, it was awesome. It was really fun. However, when it didn't play Yub Nub, I did get mad at George Lucas.
All over again.
I was just like, oh, dude, you're killing me. You would have loved Yub Nub. And how's this, right? On the way home from seeing Return of the Jedi when I was a little boy, 1983, I starkly remember, my mother has no memory of this, I was singing Yub Nub the whole way home with made up lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Yub Nub nibbity doo bidi bashi ba dee. And walking out of Return of the Jedi, Harry was going, so he did it, but different, but it could have been Yup Nup. So
look at
George, you cost me my, it could have been my highlight as a father, and you ruined it.
That does suck. I don't really like that song at the end. The new one, obviously.
I think it's pretty dope.
That's all right.
But it's, let's have both.
I think there's room for both, certainly. You could have Yub Nub during the Ewok scenes, the other song during the celebration scenes on all the other planets, which I do like. I do like all those added scenes. Oh, man, do you remember seeing Coruscant for the first time in the Return of the Jedi special edition and being like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
What's that place?
And it matched up with the little Rick McCullum concept painting he shared, is like a postage stamp size in like Star Wars Galaxy magazine. Dylan Dagnall says, sounds like George Lucas ruined your child's childhood. Close to it. It's all downhill from here. We could have peaked.
Yeah, I feel like there's a strong argument to be made that that is the case.
But he, did you watch those Jedi Adventures? Young Jedi Adventures?
No, I haven't seen those yet. Are they good? Did you watch them with Harry?
He's not into them.
Oh.
He sort of just watched one and was sort of just like, eh. Like, I think it needed more, it needed more Yoda for him. I don't know whether it's just make a baby Yoda show.
Right. Like, it'd be pretty popular.
Yeah. Like, it's you know, like, whatevs. But I know that's what would, like, he would be like, oh, little, like, baby Yoda just like sucking back frogs, like, by a pond for 5 minutes. Bang.
Done.
He cannot fathom that there's these little Lego Star Wars animations, like little skits, like 2 minute skits. Mm-hmm. And there's one with Baby Yoda, and he can't fathom that there's not more.
Oh, he's like, hey, man, can I get some more of that?
But he's just, because it's the age of plenty.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, there must be more. There must be.
Man. Oh, speaking of little shorts, did you watch the newest Simpsons Star Wars short?
Oh, I actually forgot.
It's pretty good. Rogue, not Maggie, quite one.
Yeah.
Okay. Pretty good. Pretty cute.
How long's it go for?
2.5 minutes, maybe. It's pretty short, 3 minutes. It's like an extended, almost like an extended couch gag. You know what I mean?
Okay. What else?
Did you watch Visions?
I watched a few.
Okay.
I'm just whatevers.
Fair enough.
It's just not like...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I was trying to work out a way to explain it. It's like if they just put up on Disney 10 random animations from fantasy space worlds, I wouldn't watch it.
Right. Okay.
But I feel like you would.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Absolutely. You kidding me? Absolutely. Nailed it.
But answer me this, Hawes. Mm-hmm. Are there two types of Visions episodes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Edgy Sith or kids will like this one?
Well, I would say this second selection is kind of split up into those two for the most part. But the fifth one... I think it's called Journey to the Dark Head. I really like that one. That one doesn't really have... Well, I mean, there's an edgy Sith, but it's not the focus of the show, of the short.
Got you. Hmm. Yeah, I sort of, like, watched a few and was just like, oh, yeah, but it didn't really set in on me.
It's I got
just
you. Like,
you know, life will continue. Mm-hmm. A green cow says, a Baby Yoda show pitch, the fresh Grogu of Bel-Air. He got into trouble with the Empire, had to move from Tatooine to Bel-Air to live with his wealthy uncle and aunt. The rest writes what that writes itself. I sort of like that idea because that's near me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But several million dollars away yet. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Hawes. So, we're deciding what to talk about on the podcast today, and
Sorry. Sorry, there's somebody at my door and my dog is flipping the heck out. I'm going to mute my mic for now.
Okay. I worked out the second bit. All right, horses. Oh, now I've got to just talk by myself. Oh, so you're going to stay there. You're not going to go answer the door. That's what I'd do. No buys on the door? Really? Okay. Horses doing a no. You don't think you should answer the door? He's angrily taking his headphones off to answer the door. Josh Chapman says, this is the start of a horror film. So anyway, Hawes made me go on Reddit today because... some more of the Empire magazine interview with Leslie Headland had been put up on, I don't even understand how, where are we on? We're in Star Wars Leaks, but it says there's new details on Acolyte, Skeleton Crew and Andor season 2 Empire magazine summer 2023. God, I wish Hawes would get back, because then I've just got to go over all this stuff again. Dylan wonders, what if he never comes back? I think, judging by the look he gave me as he got up, I think if he didn't come back, it would be of his own accord. But here we go. Oh, he's back. I'll put this up for him, see if he likes it.
What if I never came back? Shoo.
Who was at the door, Hollis?
It was, it's actually quite funny. It was a representative from the very company I work for trying to sell me something. And I had to be like, no, it's good. I actually work for you guys and I'm covered. I'm good. And they're like, oh, really? That's cool. And I was like, yeah, kind of, I guess.
Did they like prove it?
Yeah.
No. Spectre 2-3 Tweez Tango.
So I saw, like, when I looked out my window, I saw that it was somebody with that logo on their shirt. And I was like, I don't need to talk to them. It's my day off.
Okay. I'm trying to work, think about where you work, what company it could be.
Oh, I'll just message you on Twitter.
No, I know, but I'm trying to think of, like, if it was like a vacuum supply company or something. Like, oh, mate. Anyway, hey, why do vacuums have different settings? Like, when do you want low?
For bare floor. So, like, so from what I understand, and I'm by no means a vacuum expert, there's like a setting for if you have hardwood floors or, you know, laminate or tile, right? And then there's like another setting if you have sort of lower profile carpet. And then there's a third setting for if you have like plusher carpet.
No. Low, like suckage. There's no reason. There's no reason.
Fair enough.
I just want some of the dirt. Anyway. Hey.
Just some of the dirt. Just get a little bit of the dirt.
So, you made me go on Reddit, which I was very uncomfortable with. I don't know what's going on, but they've got some lovely logos on the side of it. And do you have this Reddit page up, Hawes? Or
yeah. Now the reason I sent you that is it just seemed to be the best sort of, summary of what was going on in that that article.
Well, what's striking your fancy in this article, Hawes?
Ooh, mainly the Acolyte stuff. I feel like that's the stuff that has the most detail in it. Although, there's a juicy little piece in the Andor season 2 that I thought you might enjoy.
Very juicy, in fact. We'll get to that. And it means some interesting things in the real world. But keep going.
Oh, about the Acolyte stuff?
Yeah!
Oh, okay. So we kind of heard this from the Celebration stuff where Leslie Headland described it as Kill Bill meets Frozen, right? And she said it's sort of a joke, but it was my elevator pitch to Kathy Kennedy. I wanted to take that revisionist version of female visions that you see in fairy tale media and tell it through that lens.
Can I ask you, do you think any savvy fans are going to set up two widescreen TVs and play Kill Bill and Frozen at the same time? Maybe with Revenge of the Sith also on a third. And then they're sort of like, oh, that's what the Acolyte's going to be like.
Maybe. That's more work than I'm going to put into it.
Okay, fake fan. All right. I haven't seen Frozen, have you?
Yeah, I think at least once. That was all right, from what I remember.
Okay. Interesting. So what does that mean then to you? Kill Bill meets Frozen.
Honestly, so it says like, just as Frozen reimagined Hans Christian Andersen's The Snow Queen with a more ambiguous take on its icy antagonist, so the Acolyte aims to look at the bad guys of Star Wars in a different light. And while there won't be any songs per se, there'll be plenty of samurai-influenced fight scenes. Here's the thing, Headland points out. What is an action scene sequence if not a musical number? So I think it's going to... And it's always kind of seemed like this was going to be the case since it was announced. It's going to sort of examine the villains through sort of a different lens than maybe we're used to in Star Wars.
Sort of like The Sopranos, do you think? Like where they're bad, but you're like they're your heroes sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Like in a weird,
bizarre way. Yeah. Yeah, I could see that being a good comparison.
Because on paper, I don't like the bad guys, Hawes.
In Star Wars, yeah, or just in general.
In general, but we're talking about Star Wars, so in Star Wars.
So you don't like Heisenberg? You don't like Walter White?
No.
Oh, fair enough. So it's weird, right? She mentions that, and then the very next line is, the series looks to answer one question. How did the Sith infiltrate the highest echelons of the Republic without anyone even blinking an eye? The answer involves a lot of Jedi investigating a series of mysterious crimes.
Do you think the fact that no one blinked an eye for so long tipped off the Jedi that the Sith were back? Mm-hmm. Hey, why have we not blinked?
Why is nobody blinking? Everybody's eyes are all dry, hurt.
Someone's getting away with something during the unblinking of this eye. Yes. Interesting.
It is interesting. And then, so what I thought was interesting, right? And it says the show revolves around a former Padawan reuniting with her Jedi master, played by Amandla Steinberg and Lee Jung-jae from Squid Games. A former Padawan reuniting with her Jedi master. And then it goes through sort of each of the cast that we know so far, right? Like everybody that's been announced at least, and just talks about what they're playing. Most of them are playing Jedi. There's no mention of who the villain is or who the bad guy is or who's been cast as a villain in this, which was fascinating to me.
Do you think it's Darth Plagueis?
I think so. Honestly, I do think so.
Has that dude got a really long head, or is that just sometimes?
The species that he is Mune. So do you remember the guy from the banking clan?
Bless you.
Thank you. The guy from the banking clan in Attack of the Clones, that's the same alien species as Plagueis, supposedly. They could always change that since we haven't seen him in canon, right? But back in the day when they did the book and stuff, that was his
piece. Not my Mune.
I do kind of wonder if that's why they don't mention it, but it's depending on, so if this is at the end of the High Republic era, I don't know how he couldn't factor into it.
She does love her EU.
Mm-hmm. Yep. She goes into that and talks about how she used to write fan fiction when she was a kid.
I like Carrie Ann Moss as a Jedi.
I do too. I think that's very cool.
Thinking of her and like the Matrix and stuff, it just reminds me the Jedi should have always copied Luke's outfit in Return of the Jedi.
You know what's really funny is I had this very same discussion with Johnny Grosso a couple of days ago where he was talking about how he doesn't like Luke's Empire Strikes Back look. And I was like, oh, really? Like that one. Yeah. I was like, I really like that one. That's one of my favorites. And he was like, I like the Jedi one better. And we sort of got to discussing like how it seemed at the time that that might have been George Lucas's idea for what Jedi looked like in their prime, like before they were all wiped out, was sort of that look. And then sometime between then and the prequels, he was like, they all dress like Uncle Owen. That's the answer.
I reckon he just forgot. And he just went, they dress like Ben Kenobi. He just forgot.
But can you imagine the prequels where everybody was decked out in that outfit? They would have had to throw some color variation into it, I would imagine. But can you imagine Ki-Adi Mundi in that Return of the Jedi fit? Ooh. Talk about fan fiction. Buddy, you're heavy.
All right, you got anything else on this?
I just thought it was kind of fascinating. They go into each of the like I said, the people that were that we know have been cast, like Daphne Keene, who was in Logan, right? And she's playing a bi-species Jedi. And I guess the one of the species is a Thelan. And I had to look this up, right? I was like, what is a Thelan? I'm not familiar with that. The only instance I could find of a live-action Thelan, I guess, is one of the extra dancers they added in Return of the Jedi. You know how there's like the Rodian dancer or backup singer in the band, and then there's like two other ladies? Mm-hmm. One of those is a Thelan.
Oh, okay. So she's like, her mum's and dad, one's a human and one's a Thelan.
Yeah, I think that's what it's saying. And it says she's got a mullet. Right on.
That does sound like
but what's funny is like every single person they mentioned, they're like, okay, well, this person's a Jedi, this person's a Jedi, oh, and don't forget about Carrie Ann Moss, she's also a Jedi. And then I guess Manny Jacinto is like, I'm just a regular guy, but no mention of anybody like who the villain is or anything like that, which is
and Jonas is a Wookiee Jedi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which always makes me worry about first engine.
Right? It seems like that's a fire hazard.
And that smell? Unseemly.
Oh, I guess there were some Thelans in Clone Wars episodes. I did see that as well.
Okay, I missed this, but and I can't put it up now, but a green cow... she's the best. A small donation for Harrison to get a couple of potato cakes or a 4 and 20 from a milk bar. So
God,
thank
I love
you.
A 4 and 20.
Oh, I could go. Oh, dude, could I go a 4 and 20? Woof. How do you do it? Yeah.
She. There we go. There we go, buddy. Oh, what are you freaking out about?
So many cats, so little time.
Hey, man.
Hey, I love, I've got to get this up. Maybe, can I do that? The, on the side of this Reddit thing, it's got all the logos of all the upcoming Star Wars things.
Yeah, isn't that neat?
Yeah, Lando, TBD.
You know, she actually mentioned both of those.
Star Wars, a droid story, TBD.
Now that is not, who knows what's going on with that? Wasn't that supposed to be like a whole CG animated like feature length thing?
I don't know, but it's a big shrug.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you know what I mean? It's sort of, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, I don't know. It might be the dopest thing ever, but the logo doesn't inspire. But so should we talk about the Andor part?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Okay, there is, like, this is the thing, there is a bit of a spoiler at the end of this, but I will say, I don't think it's going to be a spoiler come, they're not keeping it secret. Do you know what I mean?
It's going to be in trailers and stuff, is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, well, like, this is...
They're coming right out and saying it. And you know, by the way, they said this like a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't want to bring it up the last time we recorded because I thought it would be a spoiler, but it's clear that they're going to be sort of upfront about it.
Yeah, which is quite interesting. But should we... Andor Season 2, Genevieve O'Reilly is the Imperial Senator, secret rebel financer, Mon Mothma, tells us she felt like she was in a political thriller, only been shaken out of it when one day she came to work in a big scene and the room was populated with creatures. Because there weren't really many aliens in Andor, it's all about the humans, and it digs deep. Mon's fight is a different fight. Her weapon is her voice, continues O'Reilly. And you have time not just to see her as a senator, as a decision maker, but as a wife and a mother. And a lover. It doesn't say that bit.
Oh, man.
And to have time not to see... navigating Empire, not just at work, but in her home, is endlessly fascinating. It is actually endlessly fascinating.
It is. It's one of the most fascinating parts of that first season. So give me more of that for sure.
Sheesh!
Sheesh!
Adria Arjona? Is that how you pronounce that?
Hopefully? I think it's Adria Arjona.
Wow, that was a whole different key. Who plays mechanic Bix Colleen, tortured by Denise Gao's sadistic Imperial Lieutenant Dedra Mero. Mero? Whatever. Mm-hmm. It's a fake person. Towards the end of season one, promises that as a result, season two will feature her undergoing a heavy psychological excavation. Hey, that makes me think Pershing. What happened to him?
Who knows? He's just chilling. Just chilling with microwave brain on Coruscant.
Wild. Gal says Andor's cast is populated by actors who thrive on going in unexpected directions. In one world, it could be that Bix is now just effed up. God. Empire magazine going off. But there's kind of a sugary way and there's a protein way. Okay. I get that analogy. Tony always talks about the protein. That's fitting with my analogy about how Mandalorians like a sugar rush.
Mm-hmm.
Protein.
There you go.
Good gosh. And he has hired lots of actors who are high on a protein diet. Adria is on a very high protein diet. And then in the fight, like an after credits mm-hmm. quote almost, Andy Serkis says, let's just say that Narkeena 5 is a very lonely place without other people.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible that we will see him back on there and escape?
I think we're definitely going to be seeing him next season. Now, will we see him escape? I don't know, but I think we might run into him some sort of post-escape.
You got to show. I find it very hard to believe
that they wouldn't show.
Yeah, you got to explain that one. And I feel like that's the show. Like, you know, they do things so logically.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, if, you know, like a flashbacky montage or I don't know, something. But
so
I feel like there'd be a depiction, but maybe you'll just say, and I did this, and then I did this, and then this. But I doubt it.
So what's funny to me, right, is all the comments under this article. Like, the thing that people seem to be latching on to the most is the Kino stuff. And one thing I thought was kind of interesting is someone said, I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that the Empire is going to completely break Kino until he's finally loyal. Will probably be used to get close to Cassian again, only to betray him as an Empire double agent. Kino's story is never going to end happily. I don't really like that.
Brutal.
It is brutal.
Oh my stars. Do you know what that reminds me of? In V the series, right? Uh-huh.
Right.
There was Martin. He was one of the visitors that whose faces would rip off and they'd be lizards, but he was a good guy trying to help the humans get rid of, you know, because he didn't want to eat all the humans.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets killed. But it's a secret that he's on the human side. Mm-hmm. He gets killed and then his twin brother comes, which is amazing that a twin brother, like a lizard, when they've got the human face, is still a twin. Like that's so ace. And then he's angry at Mark Singer, the V's Han Solo type character, for having something to do with Martin's death. And Mark Singer's very conflicted because it's like, you look like Martin and we were friends.
I vaguely remember this storyline.
Johnny G says no V spoilers. I'm sorry.
Sorry, bro. Did you watch that V reboot they did with Juliet from Lost shortly after Lost went off the air?
I did watch it one season and then done.
It was all right.
I was digging it.
Yeah,
I was digging
all right.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was all right. It was all right. All right. So there's all that. Hey, I've got what other little things did I find? Hey, how's our Steve Urkel?
Oh, is apparently what is he in? I saw he's in something. One of the Star Wars shows, and he was in the makeup chair for 2 hours every day or something. I saw that today.
He's in Skeleton Crew.
Okay.
But he revealed it at like a hockey game, they interviewed him at a hockey game.
Did I do that?
And he says it comes out November, December.
I guess that makes sense, right? With Ahsoka being in August. That makes sense.
Yeah, I didn't see anything about the 2 hours in the makeup thing.
Yeah, I saw something about him being on, and he's a pirate, and he was in the makeup chair for 2 hours a day.
Gotcha. Go, Urkel.
Also, briefly, the voice of Sonic the Hedgehog, Steve Urkel.
In what form?
One of the animated shows.
Okay. I gotta say, have you seen those Sonic movies?
Yeah, they're good. I love those movies. They're really good.
Yeah, I was a Mario guy. I didn't mess with no Sega. But these are endearing little guy. Mm-hmm. I like him. One and two.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey just losing his mind.
I'm a fan of those Sonic movies for sure.
I had this other thing. I've just got these web pages open. I've got this one, the SF Gazette, the Sci-Fi and Fantasy Gazette, right? Mm-hmm. And they've got a headline, because I was just Googling, and it said, Star Wars, Lucasfilm President Kathleen Kennedy teases Luke Skywalker's presence in Rey-led 2025 movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've got to click on that,
right?
Wait there. I'm just paging down. I'm not even going to read that. I won't read the evidence. I'll just read the next sentence after it. So, Lucasfilm President Kathleen Kennedy teases Luke Skywalker's presence in Rey-led movie, right? A page down to this sentence. While this doesn't confirm that Hamill will appear, it's clear the fact he saved those books will be crucial in shaping the new Jedi Order his former pupil sets out to create. So that's a big stretch, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Sci-Fi Gazette.
You know, I didn't even consider it, but I got to think it's fairly likely that we'll get a Force Ghost Luke scene. Why not?
Yeah, I don't know. That last one left a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah, I get it. But doesn't mean they still can't do one and it could be cool.
How's this idiot in the chat, Sean Hoffman?
Hey.
But will R5-D4 be in it, though? Oh. R5, Home Darm says R5-D4 Force Ghost. Well, that'll at least mean that he was dead.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't Ray save the books and store them in the Falcon?
Yeah. Yes. Yep. That's...
I was more just flustered with
the headline, and you're like, "Ooh, that's exciting!" And then you get into it, and you're like, "Oh, it's one of those. It's one of those stories."
Did you know, Hawes? Do you know what the Peabody Awards are?
No, I do not.
Have you heard of them before?
No.
No way. Okay. They're awarded from Athens, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's about all I know. I know they're like it's a prestigious award, mm-hmm. and I feel like they give them in different fields. And oh, okay. So on the website header, it says Peabody Stories That Matter.
Okay.
So anyway, so there was the Peabody for Best Entertainment, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Wait there, arts. Wait. No, entertainment, right? For storytelling in entertainment. And Andor won.
Oh, nice.
But it was up against, right?
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta, which I haven't seen, but it's I've heard is good. Insane.
Yeah, it's very good.
Better Call Saul, which is top tier.
Right.
So it's Severance, which I haven't seen, but I've heard is pretty fascinating. But so a hoity award to Andor.
Yeah, and up against some stiff competition there.
So that's cool.
I did see, so I guess this is also from that same Empire article. So speaking on the Rey movie, Kathleen Kennedy said, the First Order has fallen. The Jedi are in chaos. There's even a question of how many exist anymore. And Rey's building the new Jedi Order based on the text that she was given and that Luke imparted on her. Right? And then, once again, it's the same sort of quote about, you know, it's kind of rehashing the same quote about Rian Johnson. Rian and I talk all the time. He just keeps getting more and more successful, and it keeps moving things back and back further. One day we'll figure this out, right? Taika Waititi. Taika is working away. He's just, and he won't get mad at me for saying this, slow. We've got a couple of acts. We need a third. And then Lando and Rogue Squadron. Lando is still on the books, and Rogue Squadron is still on the books. We just want them to be great.
The Jedi books?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, peep this one, Hawes, that I found. Star Wars themed event busted by Detroit Fire officials. Fans vow more powerful return. This is from the Detroit Free Press. Now, I have never heard of this, but there's some cosplay convention they have in Detroit. What's it called? Space Dive, right?
Mm-hmm.
3-day convention. They've got on the premises a full-size A-wing fighter.
Yep.
So, all right, so let's dip into this. This is not getting enough press out there. At about 10 p.m. Saturday, 4 hours before a 3-day Star Wars-themed annual cosplay celebration was set to end, organizers of Space Dive in Detroit said city fire officials filed in like Imperial stormtroopers. Wow, they had cosplay as well. And there was little they could do to turn them away. The rest of Space Dive, as C-3PO, the movie's golden droid, said in the film's opening scene, was doomed. Oh my God, this has got so many puns.
It does.
There would be no escape for the... This is like Favreau wrote this one. There would be no escape for the princess or any of the 500 or so event goers who had purchased $35 tickets dressed in elaborate Star Wars character costumes and gathered together at the Tangent Gallery to relive memories of their childhood. Fire officials shut the event down. What do you make of this, Hawes?
Ooh, I bet you. Ooh. How long does it take to get?
Look at the bar they had set up.
Buddy, we should go next year. Turn it into content.
But we'd have to wear costumes.
Yeah, you go as Ajax Citizen. Sign a couple of autographs, $20 a pop, boom.
Oof, boom. No, that is the dark side of the Force.
No,
man. That's from their 2002 event, but that is insane. And look at them all. Look at all these Cantina Denzians.
We got to go steal next week, Detroit, Halls and Steel, baby. She. So there's something that I'm excited about that I'm pretty sure is of zero interest to you, but I am very excited about this, buddy. Star Wars related. Well, I just don't think it's your thing. You know what I mean? It's not a mark against you. I just don't. Maybe I'm wrong, but Fantasy Flight. Okay, Fantasy Flight is one of the companies that has the Star Wars license. They announced this week that they are going to publish next year a brand new collectible card game based off of Star Wars. So think Magic the Gathering, but Star Wars. I am very excited about that.
That was really big in the 90s, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, Magic the Gathering was huge in the
90s. No, but there was like a Star Wars one.
It was called Star Wars CCG. It was published by a company called Decipher.
Decipher,
crazy about it back then. Loved it.
Really? Because I like the idea of it. And then when I went to play it, I was like, this is now, not for me.
That's the thing. The Decipher Star Wars card game, in my opinion, is also well known to be a little too complicated, right? Like, it is too complicated. Like, the beauty of Magic is the simplicity behind playing Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, but even, any of that stuff, it's just like, it's just not. Nah.
No, but this is incredibly for me, and I can't wait. I love collectible card games, and the only reason I'm not into one in a big way is because there's not an active Star Wars one right now.
Dude, they saw you coming.
Mm-hmm. And so what I like about it is, so Fantasy Flight, they do a lot of Star Wars stuff, right? They do like the X-Wing miniatures game. So if you've ever been like in Barnes & Noble, you might have seen them. They're like the little miniature X-Wings, and you like build your forces and fight against each other. They have a similar game called Armada, which is the bigger ships, your Star Destroyers, your Carillion Corvettes, shit like that. And it seems
That's with the really cool models, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That interests me. I don't have the time or anything for it.
Mm-hmm. But it interests you.
But it's like, that looks cool, like to move the ships around, and they're all, and the fact they're all to scale. Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah. Let me tell you,
that helps me sleep at night. Oh,
you ever find yourself in Birmingham, Alabama? We'll play a few rounds because I've got several of these.
And now I want to come less.
Fair enough. A few years ago, Fantasy Flight did a card game called Star Wars Destiny that was really cool, but it had this weird gimmick where there were dice involved. So, like, you would get a pack of cards, and then there would be dice in the pack, too, which always was a little off-putting to me for some reason. Seemed like too much of an added layer to a card game.
There's not many games that involve dice and cards, really. Mm-mm.
I think they were doing it to try and stand out, right?
Because you've got like your Monopolies where you pick up a card, but you're not playing with the cards.
Exactly. And it was pretty popular for the first couple of years it was out, and then it seemed like interest really declined. So I'm excited to see, because they've specifically called out that this new one, Star Wars Unlimited, has no gimmick.
Okay. So did you ever go into like the card shop and play?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. There's one of those shops around here, and I love driving past at night and they're all in there playing. It's just like, look how happy they all are.
Yeah. When I was a kid, like preteen to teenager, my parents treated the local comic book shop kind of like a babysitter on the weekend. They give me $5 to $10 and let me loose in the comic book store where they went and ran errands. So yeah, I got a lot of Star Wars card game playtime in.
It's like the local skateboard shop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I wasn't doing any of that.
True that. But I'm saying it's like that.
It's very similar, right? Like, because like, you know, I would go in and knowing exactly what I'm doing, right? Like I'm getting these two comics or a pack of Star Wars cards.
Can only imagine.
Oh, I had my plan, buddy. And then I'm not leaving before I open the cards and talk. Ooh, like, ooh, is this gold leader? Is this rare? And then you just sit around and talk and play card games.
So when you play those games, can you lose your cards?
I've never played that way, but people do, where they'll like put a card up, you know, as like a bet sort of. You don't have to.
Okay, but you don't, in the way you play, you don't like, I capture your Star Destroyer.
And it's mine forever. No, no.
Okay.
I'm not a gambler like that. I would have never been into that. I'd be like, you're not taking my Han Solo. No, sir.
Yeah, it always blows me away when people gamble against each other. Like, and it's like, but you're going to lose. Anyway, how about this, Hawes, for a surprise news edition?
Okay.
I just saw this on StarWarsNews.net. It was yesterday. Robert Rodriguez.
Oh, I know about this. I've been getting tagged.
Coy on the future of the Boba Fett character. Reflects on filming Star Wars shows. He was talking to Gizmodo, and he said, "Can you just say it verbatim without?"
Yeah, he said something. No, I won't get it. But he was like, "I know what the plans are for Boba Fett, but I can't say anything, and I can't say if there's going to be another season." Isn't that essentially what he said?
Yeah, pretty much. I can't say. I'm sworn to secrecy. I wish I could tell you. He wishes he could tell you, Hawes.
Oh, I'm sure he does. All right, Robert.
I know all the answers to what you're asking, but I can't say. It reminds me when J.J. Abrams would get asked about Rey's parents, like in 2016. And he'd be like, oh, I know, but I can't. And it's like, you didn't know.
Hey, you know who we need to track down? Do you remember the video of that kid asking him?
Ah, yes.
And he told her the answer?
He whispered.
Yeah, we need to track that kid down. What did he tell you? What did JJ tell you?
She probably
works at Bad Robot by now. You know what I mean? They got her on the payroll.
Her life maybe fell apart after it wasn't true. The thing that thought made her special in the universe, knowing this information, was not true. Sheesh.
True.
All right. What else, Hawes? Anything else?
I don't know. I better start squirreling a little money away now to buy some Star Wars cards next year. That's the one bummer, is it's not out until next year.
Everything's out next year in Star Wars.
I sent you a link to that article about it just because I wanted you to see the artwork and how weird Luke looks in the artwork.
What, on Twitter?
Yeah, I sent it to you in a DM on Twitter. That's the only piece of... art that they've released for it so far. Typically, they do very good artwork, though. Fantasy Flight does.
All right, wait there. I'll paste it up for everyone to enjoy.
Just something about that Luke. He looks like a Cabbage Patch doll.
Here we go. So much dead air.
No.
Oh, no, that's my fault.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
He looks a little weird, right?
Do you know what I wish they'd done?
Huh?
Had other characters, not just from the one movie in it. Are they just doing Star Wars to start with? Is that the deal?
No. So one of the big...
I should just... If you're listening to the podcast, it's... The cover art is this a certain animated style
from the New Hope.
Yeah, of just the New Hope characters.
So the first the first set, because the way these work, right, is you put out an initial set, sort of the core set, and then every few months you put out expansions with new cards, right?
The first set's going to have... And you hit the suckers up for more.
Yep, and that's me. Who's the sucker? I'm the sucker. It's going to be 200 cards, and they said it's going to span all Star Wars. Not just movies, but the shows, animation, comics, anything Star Wars related is up for grabs in this.
Yeah, well, so wouldn't you have like a, you know, throw in a Jango Fett something?
Right, because looking at this makes it just seem...
A Kylo Ren?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like it's Star Wars Unlimited and it's
all characters. Looks pretty limited.
Yeah, very limited.
And it sucks because, like I said, typically Fantasy Flight has excellent artwork, right? Like, part of the appeal of their stuff is the artwork, in my opinion. And they just put out a different game that's got such a cool image to it. Like, the box of it is Luke and Vader from Jedi.
So will the cards be this art? Is that the deal?
Unknown, right?
And so the card's just them standing there and it's like, I'm Luke Skywalker. My grappling hook powers are +9.
Typically, that's how a card game goes. There'll be an image of a character. You'll have their stats. There'll be a box with a little bit of lore, their powers and stuff. But there have been no card designs for that one released yet. So I can't say for sure what they're going to look like.
And so you when you play this, you don't make up a story as you go. You're just doing PowerPoints.
Yeah, you're just sort of fighting each other. Well, it kind of depends on the game. Like one of their games it's not like a collectible card game. You just buy like the game. It all comes in a box. It's sort of like Rebels versus Empire, and you're trying to keep the Empire from building the Death Star. Right? So like that's... There's certain phases where with the Empire, like if they complete certain steps, they get they get one step closer to finishing the Death Star. It's
got pretty fun. You. Okay. All right. I guess it sounds fun.
It is fun. The real thrill is, let's be honest, is opening the packs, right? See if you get something good.
I do have to say, I remember when I used to collect Star Wars Galaxy magazine. No, Star Wars Galaxy
cards.
Cards, just the mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'd go to somehow our little town of Rosebud in the early, I guess it would have been 94-ish. They had three card trading card stores.
That's when they were big.
Oh, and it's an easy business to buy into. Mm-hmm. But I remember opening packs up in my car and not being completely satisfied with what I had.
And going back in for another pack or two.
Like a proper junkie.
Buddy, I've got two unopened boxes of Star Wars Galaxy.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I still haven't. I was going to do a stream opening them, but I don't know how to like... I don't know the technical setup for like having the camera pointing down while I open the packs and stuff, you know?
Oh, okay.
But I'm going to one day. I have two unopened boxes.
You could like, you could set up your phone on some sort of holder and then use that as another connection into the StreamYard or whatever you use as like a separate guest and just turn off the sound.
That's a really good idea, isn't it, Walter?
Hey there, that Tony Gilroy, he's on strike.
Yeah, good for him, man.
He waited a while, so I don't think he's gonna get pat in the back. But anyway, they're continuing to make it without him, and without the ability to change any wording in the script.
Yeah, there's a few shows that are doing that. I think the Lord of the Rings show is doing the same thing. And also, I thought it was interesting. I saw somebody on Twitter this morning posted sort of the length of the previous strikes, the WGA strikes or whatever. And obviously the last one was in 2007 because it was when they were making the fourth season of Lost, right? And that one went through for 100 days, and that was one of the shorter ones. So I'll be interested to see how this pans out.
Dude, I can't go 100 days.
100 days is...
I got to get back to eating.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That craft services.
Oh! I got something to show you.
Oh, hell yeah. Let me see it, buddy.
Right there. Where is this? Wait there. I'm not sure how I'm going to do this. But I got share screen, I guess I want to do. Window, HBO. I got my little... My Succession appearance.
Oh, awesome.
So, I'm not sure if you'll be able to hear this, but it doesn't matter. This is Succession, season 4, episode 6, at 43 minutes and 5 seconds. Here we go.
Okay. I see a bunch of people going into a Waystar Studios room.
Bang. Look at this. Up here.
Where?
Okay. Oh, you can't see my cursor? Maybe you can now.
That's you?
Yeah.
Heck yeah. Who are you talking to there?
I'm talking to one of Shiv's assistants for the day, apparently.
Okay.
But you ready? They see me in frame. Let's bring it in. Ah, the Zoom whores.
Dun, dun, dun.
They keep me perfectly in frame, I think. Ah, yes. So there okay. you go.
My nice. Big
my big Succession cameo.
Heck yeah.
I wonder if I had a few things. Ah, are you looking forward to, this is my final note, I feel like. From a certain point of view, Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, I'll check it out. I enjoyed the other two well enough. Some of them are a little goofy, but for the most part, I like them.
Like, normally I just, like, I'll do an episode with Tom where I'll just review
his thoughts.
He reviews the books by reading them.
Mm-hmm.
And I review it just by his description.
Right.
Like, whether I just like the concept or not of the little inserted... Because if you don't know, a certain point of view is when they make little backstories for characters in the behind the scenes of movies. And this
time...
Yeah,
they sort of, you know, they take 40 short stories based around a certain, you know, certain more sort of bit characters, right, from each movie.
And so normally it's pretty harmless. No IG-88 becoming the Death Star like similar book did. But I'm terrified about this one.
Because it's Return of the Jedi?
And it's 40 chances to make some Nordic-looking dude Temuera Morrison. They won't be able to resist.
I think you're right. I'll be honest. The Boba Fett one and the R5-T4 one from the first one, bad. Real bad.
What is R5-D4? Let him just be a droid. Jeez.
So
like he's rusty, explodes.
I almost don't want to tell you, Steele, but I'm going to because you asked. R5-D4 story in that one is basically that he purposely blew his motivator so the Lars family would pick R2 instead.
So he's a cutter. He's self-harming.
Mm-hmm. And he, he knows the will of force. I can't even remember, but I just remember that's the basis, like sort of the basic premise of it. Ooh. And then the Boba Fett one that was done by John Hamm. Just doo-doo.
Wasn't he a real bro? And it's nothing like Tamira Morrison, is it?
Not one bit.
He's real, like, he's sort of like a slick.
Like he would wear a Tap Out, or what was that other one? The, you know, the bro clothes from about a decade ago, Tap Out and Affliction. You remember, like, Affliction?
Like he'd pay for Twitter.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
All right. What else? How'd your 400 show go, Hawes?
I think it went pretty well. There was a little bit of a technical snafu at one point, but otherwise, I think it went pretty well.
Oh, when it went silent for 2.5 minutes or something?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's the one.
That was very confusing to listen to.
Did you remember? Did you hear the? I pulled the clip of the first time we played the Kiadi Mundi song, and it was you and Sal were on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I missed. Did you say I was there?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but before you played the clip?
Yeah.
I must have, like, been, like, missed it, because at the end I was like, hey, why am I in? Like,
no, I said,
normally talk at the end of the song.
I was like, you know what? I went and found the first episode. I played it, and turns out, Will, you weren't there, and we had Sal and Steel on. And then I played the clip.
I must have just had my headphones off or something for that, you know, when you're just like, and then sometimes, normally I'm pretty diligent on, I pull the plug. I can't even, the time that I do not want to miss anything on the podcast, it's not normally I've got time to press pause. I just rip the plug and that makes it stop playing.
Nice.
It's very handy. Very handy. I think it might be the desperation of working with a four-year-old boy is why it's such a vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing, what is it, Thursday? You're recording tonight, tomorrow?
Yep, tonight.
All right. Interesting. Is that about it?
Yeah, that's about it, buddy. Nothing too crazy.
Sal's here just to chime in with Ed Hardy.
Yes, that's the exact vibe I'm talking about.
Dude. Poor Boba, huh?
Yeah. Sheesh.
How much have you thought about the Robert Rodriguez quote? Like, if he knows what's happening to him, then that must mean
something's happening.
Something's happening, yeah.
But that something is probably nothing, if I had to guess. I haven't thought about it a lot. I read it when it was first making the rounds, and I was like, all right, well, of course, whatever. Move along. Then that. So confusing.
It is. I just love it. It's the one thing that you cannot keep your cool about.
It's the one thing. And Will knows how to push my buttons about it and tries to do it every week now. It's the one thing that irks me in Star Wars more than anything. And I can't keep my cool about it.
Serenity now, Hawes.
I'm a leaf on the wind. Watch how I soar.
What does this mean? Ah, Josh Chapman says he's going to shoot another show in his car park. I was like, who's he talking about? But it was
Robert Rodriguez. Yeah.
Eric Elliott says, I'd love more Boba Fett. Hawes, how do you reply?
Yeah, me too, buddy.
Sal just said, like, steal with R5. I, like, have some dignity, people. Come on. Like, they just said he's R2-D2. Like, for that bit, it's just, you're R2, like, wouldn't it be good to have an R2? Well, we'll just make this one do it. The whole, like, and then the twist and the, come on, Hawes. Come on.
Hey, buddy. Listen, you back me up on the Boba Fett stuff. I'm going to back you up. That's how friends operate here. Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. Now, granted, yeah. I still think that that's just an innate quality that most droids have. They're like Swiss Army knives. But I didn't. It's not like I came out of this season of Mandalorian being like, they handled that character really well.
So what you're telling me is R2-D2 is not special. Is that what you're telling me, Hawes?
No, he's still special.
Hmm.
Because of the circumstances he's been placed in, right? The people he's been around, right?
Yeah, so he's just a power socket. It's just like that he didn't do anything, he just did what any other droid would have done.
Yeah, but in some really galactically important situations.
Yeah, but R5-D4, it's the same thing.
The same? No.
They all can do that.
Well, yeah, they can all do that, but R5 is not put in the same situations as R2, and he's not hanging out with the same people as R2.
Nah. Y'all buying it?
Sorry, buddy.
Before we go, I do have a new segment. We have the segment every show, but now I've titled it. And I tried to hold it in for the whole show. It steals complaint of the week about Mando season 3.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, so Ahmed Best's Jedi comes back.
Uh-huh.
And it's revealed he saves Grogu. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it just has, when the flashback's finished, like what happened to him had nothing to do with the flashback. And then it has no, like there's no change. It's just, here's a flashback because there was some clanking. That's my complaint of the week. That it just, it had no repercussion. Like it's just like, here's 3 minutes out of this story you really want to know. Will we come back to it? I don't know.
Yes, they will. Certainly they will. That I'm confident in. Will Boba Fett ever show up, or will they, you know, do something cool with Boba Fett? I have no idea, but I'm certain that there's more to that story.
Oh, once you hit that Boba Fett vein, it all comes back to it, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, how about this? I went to McDonald's and I got a chocolate milkshake.
Okay. How was it?
No, I just wanted it for you to bring it back to Boba Fett.
Well, you know,
if you think that's cold, what about what they did to Boba Fett?
Okay. Okay. We'll see. I like how you hijacked my thoughts about Boba Fett with chocolate shake. I don't know, man. I need more preparation.
Who could prepare? But yeah, that has a really dark little part of your Star Wars psyche, Hawes. Very interesting.
It is. It's the maybe the only dark and darkest part of my Star Wars psyche, and also kind of signaled the beginning of the worst year of my life in a weird way.
Oh, man.
If you think about the timing of it all, I should have known back then.
Well, it's easy to post prostigate.
Right.
Prostinate?
Yeah, I'm really good at that. I'm a Star Wars fan. That's what we do. Ooh, maybe this means this.
All right, dude. Blue Harvest is the podcast. This is. Do you want the audio to put this up on your little pod swaddle?
Yeah, yeah. If that's cool with you, I would love to do that.
Yeah, you know, bless the patrons or bless whoever. Thanks everyone for chatting along with us. Thanks Sal for joining us. Thanks everyone else for being here on time, unlike Sal. Just sort of get that in. No thanks to R5-D4. But thanks to the Acolyte.
I can't wait for that one. I'm really excited about that one.
They're all great whores. Don't play favorites.
I'm not
no, Yeah, I don't know. I actually, all right, if you could watch one just before we go.
Out of the three from that article?
Yeah, which, oh. So Andor, mm-hmm. season two, Acolyte, mm-hmm. or Ahsoka?
Skeleton Crew was the third one, not Ahsoka. So it's the three shows that are coming next year. No, or end of this year / next year. Between Skeleton Crew, Acolyte, and Ahsoka, Acolyte, or Andor season two. And I loved Andor, but Acolyte is something sort of new in a new era, you know? Like, okay, listen, we all need to go ahead and prepare for the fact that Yoda's going to show up. But other than that, it's kind of a blank slate, which I'm pretty excited for.
Yeah, I would choose that one also just because it's visually going to be so, like, everything's going to be input
mm-hmm.
rather than, like, you already know the era and, mm-hmm. and you'll have new characters and, you know, Andor, oh, cannot wait. But
yeah, I'm very excited for season two of Andor, but out of those three, I want to see Acolyte.
But I'm unhappy with going. I feel like I'm still going to dislike the these Acolytes. I'm good guy all the way. I'm going to be angry every week. They're so mean. Well, I feel like watching Succession.
All right, but you love that show, so
I know.
Perfect.
All right. Well, this episode's gone on
long enough.
So, may that force be with you.
See you again.
I didn't mean to cut you off at the end there, mate.
Oh, it's no problem.
Well, it is a problem because you don't talk after me, mate. All right? Give me a clean edit.
My bad.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial. Plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.